ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిహి ఓం. పూర్ణమదః పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిహి ఓం. అన్యత్ర ధర్మాత్ అన్యత్రాధర్మాత్ అన్యత్రాస్మాత్ కృతాకృతాత్ అన్యత్ర భూతాచ భవ్యాచ యత్తత్ పశ్యసి తద్వద. దిస్ ఈస్ ది 14th మంత్ర ఇన్ ది సెకండ్ సెక్షన్ ఆఫ్ ది ఫస్ట్ వల్లి దాట్ వి డిస్కస్డ్ ఇన్ ది లాస్ట్ వెబినార్. అండ్ దేర్ వి సా హౌ నచికేతస్ బికేమ్ ఇంపేషెంట్ విత్ యమధర్మరాజా అండ్ ఇంటర్జెక్టెడ్ హిమ్ to teach him self-knowledge, the third boon. And before beginning to teach, Yamadharmaraja prescribes a sadhana for those who are not yet ready for comprehending the absolute. And that sadhana that he prescribes is Omkara Upasana. That's what we are going to see today. Omkara Upasana is what Yamadharmaraja is prescribing for those people who are not yet ready for comprehending the absolute or proceeding in the Jnana Marga. So in the mantras 15, 16 and 17, Yamadharmaraja prescribes this Upasana, the Omkara Upasana, in which Omkara will be a symbol for meditating on the Lord or the Parabrahma. And both in the Saguna Swarupam or in the Nirguna Swarupam, whatever may be the meditation, the Omkara is going to be used as a symbol. So after introducing the Omkara Upasana in the 15th mantra, Yamadharmaraja, he will proceed to talk about the Omkara Mahima in the next two verses. So now we will see the 15th mantra where the Yamadharmaraja is going to talk about the Omkara Upasana. We will read 15th mantra. Sarve Veda Yat Padamamananti Tapamsi Sarvani Cha Yadvadanti యదిచ్ఛంతో బ్రహ్మచర్యం చరంతి తత్తే పదం సంగ్రహేణ బ్రవీమి ఓమిత్యేతత్. దిస్ ఈస్ ది మంత్ర. సో యమధర్మరాజా ఫీల్స్ దట్ ద బ్రహ్మన్ ఆర్ ఆత్మన్ విచ్ నచికేతస్ వాంట్స్ టు నో ఈస్ టూ సటిల్ ఫార్ మెనీ పీపుల్ టు కాంప్రహెండ్. ఇట్ రిక్వైర్స్ ఏ సూక్ష్మ బుద్ధి, very subtle buddhi to understand. And so before beginning to teach, Yamadharmaraja prescribes a sadhana for those who are not yet ready for comprehending this. And the sadhana, as we said, is the Omkara Upasana. And by doing this upasana, a person can take two different routes. In the Saguna Swarupam or in the Nirguna Swarupam or the higher nature of the Lord, that is what the meditation is going to be about, both the Karyam Brahma and the Karanam Brahma. So after meditating upon the Lord through the Omkara symbol, a person can come to Nirguna Brahma in this life itself. So first practice Omkara Upasana to sharpen the mind, then come to Nirguna Vichara, the inquiry into the Nirguna nature of Brahman. This is one method. And the second method is, one can practice Omkara Upasana throughout the life. If that person is not confident of coming to Nirguna Tattvam, if he feels it is too subtle for him, then that person can do Omkara Upasana throughout the life and also at the time of death. And if a person does that, the Shastra says that that person can go to Brahmaloka after death. And in Brahmaloka, he can gain Nirguna Brahma Jnanam directly from Brahmaji himself. And by gaining that in Brahmaloka, one can get liberation or moksha. And this second method is called Krama Mukti. The first method is called Jivan Mukti in this life itself. And the second method is called Krama Mukti. So, Omkara Upasana is useful for either Jivan Mukti or Krama Mukti. And this Omkara Upasana is a versatile sadhana. And so Yamadharma Raja, he wants to present in the mantra 15 that we just read. He introduces Omkara. He says, Omkara is a symbol for Brahman. Just as a Shiva Lingam is a symbol for Shiva, a Shalagrama is a symbol for Vishnu. Similarly, the very Omkara, Pranava, that sound represents Brahman. And what type of Brahman? The glory of Brahman is revealed in the first three lines of the shloka. What is that Brahman? Sarve Veda Yatu Padam Amananti. Padam here means destination, the ultimate goal. All the Vedas, Sarve Veda, all the Vedas, they uniformly declare that Brahman alone is the ultimate goal of all the people. Yad padam abmananti. The only difference is what? Some people know this fact and some people do not know this fact. That is the difference. No doubt, in the beginning portion of the Vedas, the Veda Purva Bhaga or the Karmakanda portion, Veda prescribes the other goals in life. It accepts wealth as one of the goals, Artha. It accepts sense pleasures as one of the goals, Kama. It also accepts Swargaloka as another goal. And the Veda Purva Bhaga prescribes one can do rituals and attain all these goals. And then Veda has got a hidden agenda in this entire thing. It prescribes actually a sugar-coated tablet. What Veda really wants to understand, make people understand is, a person will go through all these sense pleasures and he will see the limitation of all of them ultimately. Some people know the limitation of sense pleasures even without going through them. They are a rare variety, such people. They are the intelligent variety perhaps. They need not see the world to know its limitation. They are capable of extending and projecting these limitations, but those people are very rare. Majority of people, they require lot of kicks in life. And so Veda says, go through the worldly enjoyments and relations as much as you want. And by going through, what happens? Pariksha lokan karma chitam. Like that example, a person learned, for example, music for 7 years and says, what is the benefit of learning music for 7 years? I understand that music will not come for me. That's what the conclusion this person came to. So 7 years of struggle is well worth it for him because at least now he knows what he cannot do. Similarly, Veda says, even though Dharmartha Kamas are prescribed as goals of life, the hidden agenda is Vairagyam. That is the hidden agenda of the Vedas when it prescribes all these things to people. Detachment from money, detachment from sense pleasures, from fame, name, position. If Veda talks about detachment in the beginning itself, let us assume, then people will get detached from Veda itself, not from any of the other things. They will get detached from Veda. And so never openly present Vairagyam as a destination. Veda never does that. If openly present Artha, Kama, sense pleasures, etc., what is the hidden agenda? Vairagyam. So, what is the aim of Veda Purva Bhaga? Vairagyam only, detachment from the world. And what is the benefit of Vairagyam? Then the person will start Upanishad classes. Whatever may be the age, he will start that. And what is the benefit of successful Vedantic study? That is Jnana Marga, Moksha is the ultimate benefit. So, the entire Veda has only one agenda, one goal, initially Vairagyam, ultimately Brahman. So that is the agenda. So he says, Sarve Vedaha, all the Vedas, both the Karmakanda portion and the Jnanakanda portions, they have got all only one padam or one lakshyam, that is karma vitpatti. It is, you know, padyate iti padam, destination. So amananti, they all talk about, and tapamsi sarvani cha vadanti. Initially we don't recognize the destination at all, and see what we do, we grow up in the darkness. We do not know exactly what we want really. In fact, many people, even after 70 years of life, they do not know what they really want in life. Knowing what one wants itself is a great accomplishment. It is exactly like diagnosing a disease. Otherwise, it is like experimental medication. You know, try this, come after 5 days, we will try something else. Likewise, we have been struggling for peace of mind all along in the entire life. As children, we thought peace of mind will come when we grow up. And after graduation, or after employment, after marriage, children. Now we are in the grandchildren age perhaps, many of us, or some of us at least, still looking for peace. So many people do not even know. But some rare variety of people, they recognize that my goal is Purnatvam. Aham Purnosmi, I should be able to say. Aham Triptosmi, I am already full. I do not lack anything in life. That one should be able to say. I am not able to stand any sense of limitation at all. And that Purnatvam is called Brahman. And so I want that stage, and that is moksha. Until one gets that direction, Vedas say, go after dharma, artha, kama, all those things. Nothing wrong about them, but be righteous. But once I have become a mumukshu, a man of direction, then Vedas says, tapamsi. I will prescribe various disciplines for moksha preparation. No more hidden agenda at all for me. I will go on prescribing so many things. No more hidden agenda. And what is that? Tapamsi. Tapamsi means all types of disciplines. Mahanarayana Upanishad says, what are the various types of tapas one can go through? It says, Ritan tapas, Satyan tapas, Shrutan tapas, Shantan tapo, Damastapas, Shamastapo, Danantapo, Yajnantapo, Burbu Vasu Varbrahmaita Dupasyaita Tapaha. Everything is tapas. Tapas is defined in Mahanarayana Upanishad so precisely. Every spiritual discipline is a form of tapas only. So this is what it says. All the values are tapas. Rituals are tapas. Acquiring sadhana chatushtaya sampatti is tapas. So varieties of tapas are prescribed. Yat, yadvadanti. Yat means for the sake of that Brahman. Yadartham, that is Brahmartham. Yasmai vadanti. Yasmai vadanti, for the sake of that Brahman. Previously, in the first part of the Grahastha Ashrama, it is for wealth and sense pleasures, artha and kama. And when I was groping in darkness because of no direction at that time, and in the later part of Grahastha Ashrama, it is dharma moksha. They were all emphasized, dharma moksha pradhana, Grahastha Ashrama. In that time, karma yoga, prayers, service to humanity, they all became important. And what does he discover at that time? Brahman requires jnanam. You cannot get Brahman through any of these. You should get only through jnanam. That's what he discovers. One cannot attain Brahman without self-knowledge. And the person understands that self-knowledge cannot come without dedicated study. Scriptures are the mirrors using which I can look at myself. Without a mirror, I cannot see my face. Without scriptures, I can never know my true nature. So I require quality time, not ordinary time, in which I can forget everything like a sannyasi or a great scholar. I can die to all situations regarding relations, regarding profession, regarding community, etc. And I can plunge into the self-inquiry. That should be the extent one should be able to put the effort. So when he comes to know that the Upanishad, when the Upanishad says, Yadichanto Brahmacharyam Charanti. So these seekers take to a student's life, Brahmacharyam Charanti. Once again, previously the student's life was during when? During the Gurukulavasa or college life perhaps in these days. దట్ ఈస్ బ్రహ్మచర్య ఆశ్రమ. దెన్ దిస్ పర్సన్ ఎంటర్డ్ ఇన్ టు గృహస్థ ఆశ్రమ అండ్ లేటర్ వన్స్ అగైన్ హీ హ్యాస్ టు గో బ్యాక్ టు ద స్టూడెంట్ డేస్ యాజ్ వీఆర్ ఆల్ డూయింగ్. యాక్చువల్లీ ఇఫ్ దే ఆర్ చిల్డ్రన్ దేర్ దెన్ దే మే ఆస్క్ అస్ వై ఆర్ యూ టేకింగ్ నోట్స్. ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ వెన్ దే ఇఫ్ మీన్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ యూ మే బి యాస్ యూ లిసన్ టు దీస్ లెక్చర్స్ యూ మే టేక్ నోట్స్ అండ్ ఇఫ్ యువర్ చిల్డ్రన్ సీ దట్ దే మే ఆస్ వై ఆర్ యూ టేకింగ్ నోట్స్ నౌ యు ఆర్ అ గ్రోన్ అప్ యువర్ ఫినిష్డ్ యువర్ స్కూల్ ఇన్ కాలేజ్ అండ్ ఆల్ so will your teacher will he give you a test. The children might ask, they may be curious, because what you do is exactly similar to a student's life when you come to Vedantic study also. In fact, Brahmacharya ashrama is also student life, and so is Sannyasa ashrama also. In Brahmacharya ashrama, karma kanda was studied. In Sannyasa ashrama, jnana kanda is studied. So the second student life, it begins once the Vedanta Vichara starts. Otherwise, Vedanta cannot give full benefit unless one goes through this study. If one has a casual approach to Vedanta, the benefit also will be casual only. And so, yadichantaha, desiring that Brahman, brahmacharyam charanti, the seekers, they take to Vedantic study. Vichara, once again, brahmacharyam here refers to the Vedantic study. And that Brahman is tat te padam. The real destination of every human being is that Brahman. He does not know that he is seeking that. It is like a person having milk and looking for ghee. Ghee is contained in milk already. He should only know how to get ghee out of milk. He does not know what he is seeking is here itself. And so, tatte padam, that itself is your ultimate goal. Sangrahena bravimi. If I have to put that Brahman in a very simple language, in one word, it is omityetat. Omkara, om, represents that Brahman. That is what Yamadharma Raja says. And omkara represents that Brahman. That will be elaborately discussed actually in another Upanishad actually. That if we get to do that, we can see it elaborately in Mandukya Upanishad. The pranava is described in great detail. In Taittiriya Upanishad also, we have seen that. There is the glory of omkara was given there also. So here, Yamadharma Raja, he talks about the omkara mahima. The glory of Omkara in the next two verses, sloka 16 and 17, that we will read.
Etadyevaksharam Brahma, etadyevaksharam Param, etadyevaksharam Jnatva, yoyadichyati tasya tat.
So mantra 16 and 17, they talk about the glory of the Omkara Upasana, meditation upon Omkara, how we should be practiced. And what is the result of that upasana? And Yama says, Omkara can represent both Parambrahma and Aparambrahma. Parambrahma is what? Karanam Brahma, the Ishvara, the ultimate cause for everything. The Upadana Karanam and Nimitta Karana. We have seen those discussions earlier. And Aparambrahma is Karyam Brahma, Hiranyagarbha or Virat. If people have to have some refresher on this, please refer to my Tattvabodha lectures. And here Yamadharma Raja says, Yetat Aksharam Eva. This letter, Aksharam, Omkara alone, is Brahma. That we have to supply. That is, Hiranyagarbha or Virat, Aparam Brahma or Brahma. So, Yetat Deva Aksharam Param. The same letter, Omkara, is the Param Brahma, Ishvara, the Karanam Brahma. And Yetat Deva Aksharam Jnatva. In this context, actually, jnatva means dhyatva, having meditated upon that omkara, that parabrahmam through omkara. We are not here talking about the enquiry into nirgunam brahma. Only meditation, upasana alone is talked about here. We should be careful. And how should the meditation be done? Take the omkara letter and invoke Hiranyagarbha or Ishvara in that. In a simple language, Hiranyagarbha means what? Hiranyagarbha means total mind. We have seen all these in Tattvabodha. Ishvara means even the cause of the total mind. Hiranyagarbha is the total mind of all things. And Ishvara means even the cause for that total mind, the original cause, the ultimate cause. One can meditate upon either of them.
ది కార్యం ఆర్ కారణం బ్రహ్మ బై టేకింగ్ ఓంకారా యాజ్ ద సింబల్ అండ్ దెన్ వాట్ ఇస్ ద బెనిఫిట్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ యహ ఎది ఇచ్చతి తస్య తత్ భవతి వాట్ ఎవర్ బి ద గోల్ దట్ ద పర్సన్ లైక్స్ టు అటైన్ వన్ క్యాన్ అకాంప్లిష్ దాట్ వాట్ డు వి మీన్ బై దాట్ వీ హెవ్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ దట్ క్లియర్లీ దిస్ ఉపాసన can be both a sakama upasana or it can be a nishkama upasana. Sakama upasana means what? Meditation for worldly well-being. Ashta mahasiddhi I want money, sense pleasures, good body, good health, good environment, overlordship. I want all this, sakama upasana. In fact, we are all seeking this only most of the time, at least in some smaller scale, depending on one's own likes and dislikes. We want power, we want name, we want fame, position, aishwaryam. Everybody wants all this. And if you want that, one can do Omkara Upasana and achieve them also. And he will become what? Hiranyagarbha apnoti swara ajyam apnoti manasaspatim vakpatis chakshushpatihi shrotrapatir vijnanapatihi. We saw all these things in Taittiriya Upanishad. So he is the person, he can attain all these are the glories of Hiranyagarbha. That's what is said there. So power over natural forces one can even get, control over thunder, earthquake, lightning, ashta mahasiddhis, people can get all that. If one says that is all finite, that's all fine with me, that's fine. But if somebody says, a rare variety person says, no, these are all only finite gains, but I want to attain the infinite one, the moksha. If one says, then the very same Omkara Upasana will help one to attain that moksha also. And what type of moksha it is? Krama Mukti it will lead to. The Krama Mukti, we already have seen in detail what is Jivan Mukti and Krama Mukti. So Omkara Upasana can give sense pleasures as well as liberation also. It is actually two in one. Or buy one, get one free, whatever. The same idea is reinforced further in the next shloka, shloka 17, that we will read.
Yetadalambanagum sreshtam, yetadalambanam param, yetadalambanam nyatva, brahma loke mahiyate.
And so this is a multi-purpose alambanam. Alambanam means symbol. We have used this term earlier when we talked in detail about various upasanas, when we discussed in the Taittiriya Upanishad sections. So this mantra is a very versatile mantra. And Yamadharmaraja says, Yetat Sreshtam Alambanam. This is the greatest symbol of the Lord. Sreshtam. Alambanam is symbol. This is the greatest symbol of the Lord, Alambanam. And it is, the symbol is also of two types. One is when it is a form with clear limbs like humans. If the symbol is of a clear form with limbs and all like human beings, then it is called a Pratima Alambanam. It is called a Pratima Alambanam. And these limbs and other clear features, if they are not there, like what? Like, for example, a Shivalingam or a Salagrama. Haridra Bimbe Sumukham Mahaganapatim Dhyayami. So you got some small Haridra, the made of turmeric powder. No features. But you invoke Mahaganapati in that. So invoke the Devi in a flame. So all these are called Pratika Alambanam. So we got Pratima Alambanam and Pratika Alambanam. And Omkara comes under which variety now? It comes under Pratika Alambanam. It is the Pratika Alambanam for Ishvara, the Lord. So Shreshtam Alambanam, superior Alambanam, because Yetat Alambanam Param. Because this symbolizes both the Karanam Brahma, the higher Ishvara, as well as the Karyam Brahma, the Hiranyagarbha. So Hiranyagarbha, the total. So we have to add here Aparam also as Param Brahma, Aparam Brahma also to indicate that it indicates both Param and Aparam Brahma. And therefore, Etat Alambanam Nyatva, having meditated upon this Alambanam, this symbol, what happens? Brahma Loke Mahiyate, a person gets the Brahma Loka. And here the word Brahmaloka has to be read twice actually. If it is a Sakama Upasana, Brahmaloka means what? The real Brahmaloka, where Brahmaji is there, the seventh heaven. We already went through this discussion somewhere else in the Satyaloka, or in the Satyaloka where Brahmaji is there. And this is the seventh heaven, as we said. So where one can have all desires fulfilled. In Satyaloka, there is no sorrow at all. All desires can be fulfilled. If it is a Nishkama Upasana, the word Brahmaloka then would mean Nirgunam Brahma. So if it is a Sakama Upasana, the word Brahma will be, if he will go to the Satyaloka, he will get there, Brahmaloka. And if it is a Nishkama Upasana, Brahmaloka, if it is Nirguna Brahma, here Loka, Brahmaloka here would mean Chaitanyam, the very Atman, the very Brahman. So for Nirguna Upasana, the palam is what? Not Brahmaloka, the space, but Brahman, the Chaitanyam itself. And where will we find Brahma Chaitanyam then? That would be another question. We have to ask a counter question in that case. If somebody asks, where you will not find Brahma Chaitanya? It is there everywhere. In Keno Upanishad, it is said, Pratibodham Viditam Madam. In every transaction, consciousness is there, which is Brahman. He will recognize that ultimately. So for Sakama Upasana, Brahmaloka is a world, is a space, the Satyaloka. And for a Nishkama Upasana, it is Karma Mukti. He will get Jnanam, and this person will attain Jivan Mukti right then and there. Mantra 18. Najayate mriyate va vipaschit nayam kuta chinna babuva kaschit ajo nitya shashvato yam puranaha nahanyate hanyamane sharire. Actually, in the previous three mantras, Yamadharma Raja talked about a preparatory upasana for those who are not really ready for Nirgunam Brahma discussion, for such people. So for the Manda Madhyama Adhikarina, so we have to use these words, for the Manda Madhyama Adhikari, a person who is not well informed, who is not ready yet. So for the lower or the mediocre students, Omkara Upasana is the sadhana that is prescribed. And if a student says, I don't really need all these, my intellect is subtle enough, and I am ready to take Nirguna Upasana right now here itself, then Yamadharma Raja says, take this, and he starts. And what he say? From the 18th shloka onwards, he starts the real Upanishad, the real teaching. Katha Upanishad's real teaching comes here. He starts with a big bang, exactly as Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, saying gadasun agatasumschem nanu shochandi panditaha. He started there like that. He started the Nirguna Atma discussion with this. So in fact, most of the Atma definition verses of the Bhagavad Gita are borrowed from Kathopanishad only. Krishna seems to be a lover of Kathopanishad. In fact, this very mantra Krishna has bodily lifted from Kathopanishad and with a slight change and put it in the Bhagavad Gita. Najayate mriyate va kadachit. He just only changed here vipaschit. Instead of kadachit, he put vipaschit and made it as, you know, his mantra. That's what Krishna did. So from here onwards, the Atma Lakshana Shlokas, the definition of Atma is given, which is the ultimate question through the third boon by Nachiketas. Yamadharma Raja is now giving those discussions here, very, very important portion and a very, very subtle portion also. The previous story portion is not real Kathopanishad. Whatever we have done so far is not real Kathopanishad. Now only it starts. They are all story, no problem. If, for example, if someone asks us, what is the essence of Bhagavad Gita? Then if we say to them, Panja Janyam Rishi Keshaha, Deva Dattam Dhananjayaha, Poundram Dadbomaka Shankam, if we toss, we say that this is what Bhagavad Gita teaches us. This is not Gita at all. These are all only preparatory verses. Similarly, here also, the story really happened or not, we don't care. We don't know. But this is the Upanishad portion that is being started now. And what is the nature of Atma? Vipaschit, all illuminating consciousness, Sarva Prakashaka Chaitanyam, Vipaschet. So Atma is the nature of consciousness. Then our next question is, what is consciousness? If we say Atma is of the nature of consciousness, we will ask, what is consciousness? For which we should be reminded of the answer that we have seen elaborately in several other lectures earlier. We have seen these five attributes. I will just repeat here for refreshing ourselves. Number one, consciousness is not a part, not a product, nor a property of the body. Number one. Number two, consciousness is independent entity which pervades and enlivens the body. Three, consciousness is not limited by the boundaries of the body. And four, consciousness continues even after the death of the body. And five, the surviving consciousness cannot transact with the world, not because it is absent, but because the medium is absent. Medium is not there. These are the five attributes, the five things that we saw about consciousness. And this is the consciousness that is here talked about as Vipaschit. And what is this consciousness? Yamadharmaraja says, Shadvikara Rahitaha. This consciousness is not subject to the sixfold modifications, vikaras, shadvikaras. Unlike the body, body has got sixfold modifications. Asti, jayate, vardate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, vinashyati. Potentially existing in the womb of the mother, asti. Then it is born, jayate. Then vardate, it grows, the body grows. Viparinamate, it changes. Apakshiyate, declines, and vinashyati, ultimately perishes. So, in the very same modifying body, consciousness is intimately present. But what is the beauty? Consciousness itself does not undergo any of these changes. The body goes through these changes, but the consciousness itself does not go through any of these changes. Exactly like the light example. I have given this light example several times earlier. Light intimately pervades my hand. When I put my hand, light intimately pervades my hand. But whatever modifications takes place in the hand, light does not change. It remains as is. If I move the hand, light does not move. If I split my fingers, light does not split. If the wrinkles are formed in my hand, light does not wrinkle. There is no wrinkled light at all, only wrinkled hand. So the first lesson Yamadharmaraja gives is Atma is Nirvikara Chaitanyam. It is a changeless consciousness. That is the first lesson. And therefore, it does not fall within time. Atma does not fall within time, because time alone is responsible for all changes. Kala kridadim gachatyayuhu. So if Atma is changeless, time has no influence on Atma, and that is the content of this shloka. Now let us look at the shloka. Na jayate na mriyate. It is neither born, na jayate, na mriyate, nor does it die. Then I am na kutaschit. Consciousness does not emerge from anything. That means what? It is not a product or effect. It is not a karyam. Karyam is effect. And na babuva kaschit. It does not become anything also. So it is not a cause also. If it becomes something, then it will be a cause for something else. So it is not a cause also. It is not an effect. It is not a cause. Seed is called the cause because seed becomes a tree. If X becomes Y, X is called the cause. Consciousness does not become anything. And so consciousness is not a cause also. So it is neither karyam nor karanam. It does not come from anything, and nothing comes from consciousness. And Nachiketas then asks the question, what is beyond cause and effect? And Yamadharmaraja's answer is what? Consciousness is beyond cause and effect. And this is a very, very significant line. It is a very important line in the Upanishad. The full significance of this line, we will see actually when we discuss Mandukya Upanishad. The third chapter, there are 48 verses dedicated to explain this one line only. And it is called Ajativadaha. But we don't have to go into the details of that now because we are not discussing Mandukya Upanishad now. The root of Ajativada is what? Is the second line of this mantra. And so only Atma is Ajaha. Atma is birthless. Nityaha, it is deathless. Shashvataha, Shashvataha means what? Apakshaya Rahitaha, decayless. And Puranaha, growthless. Vriddhi Rahitaha, no growth. So consciousness does not grow. Body grows. Sometimes too much it grows perhaps in both the directions, in the vertical and the horizontal direction. Consciousness does not grow. Why? Because it is infinite. Infinite is that which can neither increase nor decrease. That is infinite. So it is na karmana vardate no kariyan. No kaniyan. So infinite cannot be increased nor decreased, and so beyond both increase and decrease. And then na hanyate, it does not undergo change. Parinama, actually. Literally hanyate means afflicted. Here it means deformation, parinama. And when body is afflicted by time, it undergoes shrinkage because of old age. Body goes through that. Afflicted by time, it shrinks. Consciousness does not have that at all. And this line indicates na viparinamate also. So among the six modifications, ajaha, indicated by na jayate, nityaha, deathless, Shashvataha, decayless, Puranaha, growthless, Nahanyate, there is no change. Thus, five modifications have been negated. And the sixth modification is not negated here, that we have to supply. All these are not there, it doesn't die also. And therefore, it does not have a temporary existence. Body has a temporary existence because it goes through all these sixfold modifications and changes, whereas Atma does not go through any of them. So it is eternal, it is changeless, it doesn't have any temporary existence. Therefore, it is Shad Vikara Rahita Chaitanyam. A Chaitanyam which is beyond all these sixfold modifications. This changeless Chaitanyam is called Atma. So further features are given in the next mantra. We will read Shloka 19. Hanta chen manyate hantum, hatas chen manyate hatam, ubhau tau na vijanitaha, nayam hanti na hanyate. And in this mantra, the 19th mantra, Yamadharmaraja, he introduces two more features of the Atma. One, Atma is Akarta. Akarta means not a doer of any type of action. It's Akarta. And two, Abhokta, not the reaper of the result of the action also. So, Karta is association with karma, and Bhokta is association with karma palam. The benefit of karma, doing karma, the karma pala. So, akarta means what? Karma sambandha rahitaha is akarta. And abhokta is karma pala sambandha rahitaha. And why do we say atma is akarta and abhokta? Because to be a karta is to be associated with action. That is to undergo change. Because any action means change on the part of the agent, whomsoever is doing the action. The physical body is called karta. The body is capable of doing action, so is karta, which means it is capable of undergoing change. Change in what sense? Movement in space from one place to another. It's a spatial change. Or there could be a time-wise change. When I talk, my body is undergoing change. I cannot do any action without undergoing change, and that is why after 1 hour, we feel hungry. Because body has been spending energy. Even for sleeping, we spend energy. How do we know? When you wake up in the morning, we are hungry. So any activity means change. And Atma cannot have any activity because In the previous mantra, we have said Atma cannot undergo any change. It is changeless. So what action will do? It cannot do Punya Karma. It cannot do Papa Karma. So Kayika, Vachika, Manasa, all these karmas it cannot do. That is no action by body, speech or mind. Because all these can undergo changes. So change of mind is change of thought. When you analyze thought, change of mind is change of thought. Since Atma cannot undergo any change, it is free from karma. Cannot undergo any change. And if it is free from karma, it cannot reap the results of karma also. So karma palam also will not be there. So it is abhokta Atma, akarta and abhokta. If we extend this further, then we can say, therefore, Atma is free from Sanchita Karma, Agami Karma, and Prarabdha Karma. We have seen all those things, definitions in Tattva Bodha. Please refer to those notes if you don't remember. And these karmas are responsible for Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam. Again, birth and death, that cycle. So it is free from Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam cycle. So Atma is Nitya Mukta Swarupaha, free from Samsara. And this is the essence of this particular mantra. But Yamadharmaraja puts it in a different language. He would have just said it like this, but he puts it in a different language. And how does he present here? First, he wants to say that Atma is akarta. To convey this idea, Yamadharmaraja says, Atma is not the subject of any action. He could have just said, Atma is not a doer. But he said, is not a subject of any action, using a very grammatical language. In the same way, he wants to say Atma is abhokta, and that he presents as Atma is not a victim of any action or karma phalam. And so Atma is not an object of action. That's what he says. Atma is not an object of action. And how do we experience the karma phalam? For example, if it is a Punya karma phalam, what is going to happen in our life? Someone is going to glorify us. They will do some nice things to me. I'll feel happy. These are all Punya Karma Phala. Then I become an object of good experiences. And when people, when Papa Karma Phalam comes to me, what happens? Then also I'll be an object of what? Negative experiences or bad experiences in life. So to be a bhokta is to be a victim of or object of pleasurable and painful experiences. That is bhokta. And so we can say to be a karta is to be a subject of action, and to be a bhokta, one should be an object of others' action. And Atma is akarta and abhokta. That would mean Atma is neither a subject nor an object of any action. Only to communicate this, all these so many words. And among many types of actions, what is the most powerful action? Yamadharmaraja takes the action of killing someone, because that is the most powerful. So he says, Atma is not a subject of killing action, is only an example. So just only for the sake of example, we have to extend it to all other actions. And it is not an object of any killing action also. So it is not a subject of a killing action. It is not object of a killing action also. So Atma is neither killer nor killed. Neither a striker nor struck, neither an eater nor eaten, neither an insulter nor the insulted. So Atma is Sarva Vyavahara Agocharaha. In Vedanta, these are all terms. Sarva Vyavahara Agocharaha. It is beyond all the Vyavaharas. Because all transactions are those in which you are either a subject or an object. And this also, Yamadharmaraja, he presents it in a different language. He wants to say, Atma is neither killer nor killed. He could have very directly said this, but he puts it indirectly. He says, what is the indirect language? How does he does? He don't do this. He says, some people consider Atma to be a killer or a striker. And some people say that Atma is as killed. I am struck by an arrow in the war. I am struck by a bullet in the war. The victim says, I am struck. And other people says, I am the striker. One says, I am struck. The other person says, I am the striker. And Yamadharmaraja says, both of them are wrong. then what do we derive from this? That is, Atma is neither a subject nor object. Now, if you look at the shloka, Hanta Hantum Manyate. A person thinks, I am the killer. Hanta Hantum Manyate. I am the killer. That's what he thinks. And the killer word is only a representative word, as I told you earlier. We take it as an actor, subject of an action. And this is the thought of some people. And Hataha Chet Manyate Hatam. And another person says, I am the hit one, the one who is struck, or a victim of that action, or I am the object of that action. And what is Yama's verdict here? Ubhav tau na vijanitaha. Both of them, ubhav, both of them, they do not know. Why? Because I am na hanti. Atma is neither a doer of any action, na hanyate, nor the Atma is the victim or object of any action. And if we extend this at the psychological level, then we will find very, very interesting thing. Most of our pains are in the form of what? Most of the pains, commonly, when people experience pains, most of the pains are in the form of either feeling hurt or feeling of guilt. Just a psychological study if you make. When I am hurt by another's behavior, say a son or daughter, a neighbor, whomsoever it is, then am I a subject or object? As a bhokta, when I take experience from others, it leads to a lot of hurt. So bhokta produces hurt in life. If I am a bhokta, it can lead to hurt, feeling of hurt in life. And how guilt is produced in life? We always say, I did this to my son, I did this to my wife, to my daughter, to my guru. Guilt is always generated by the karta attitude. I should not have done this to my wife. I should not have done this to my guru. So this is generated by the karta attitude. So karta produces guilt and bhokta produces hurt. Right? So that's what this says here. Right. So as long as I am karta and bhokta, throughout this life, I will be tormented by the feeling of hurt and the feeling of guilt. So when I am hurt, it is by another's behavior, when I am a bhokta. So when I am in guilt, I am the karta. So and hurt is hurt and guilt, both the feelings, that is samsara. So what is pain? If one watches one's mind, most of the time it is hurt and it is in guilt. And that is why Taittiriya Upanishad defines moksha as free from both hurt and guilt. Kimahagum sadhuna karavam, kimaham papama karavam iti, sayevam vidvanete atmanagas prunute. And how a jnani transcends both hurt, the feeling of hurt and guilt? Only by transcending the kartrutvam, doership, and bhoktrutvam, enjoyership. Only by transcending both, the jnani transcends both the feeling of hurt and guilt. And how do you transcend both? Only by one method. As body, one will be a karta bhokta always. As an organ of speech, one will be a karta bhokta. As the mind, one will be karta or bhokta. If we have to transcend both, we have to own up chaitanyam. I am the consciousness behind all of them. I am free from both, so no hurt or no guilt for me. I keep on doing my actions with good motives, all right. I don't allow my day-to-day transactions to create hurt and guilt for me. The problem is what? Every day we gather this. Just as we collect dust, we mentally gather the twofold pollution of hurt and guilt. And generally, we don't have any soap or detergent to wash off these two. We keep on accumulating them. In our old age, we have tons and tons of these feelings, the feeling of hurt and guilt. And they come to Vedanta then. They find that Vedanta seems to work in some level, perhaps. Hurt and guilt work in some other level. Vedanta works at one level, the feeling of hurt and guilt work in some other level. And we say, I understand Vedanta, but still I have no peace of mind. So Vedanta will work only when we remove the Kartrutvam and Bhoktrutvam. And that is why Krishna says in the second chapter, he emphasizes these two ideas only there. Yayenam vetihantaram yaschainam manyate hatam, in that shloka. Ubautavuna vijanitaha nayam hanti nahanyate. The second line of this verse, Krishna quietly, he pinched it and used it in Gita. So from Katopanishad, he pinched that and used it very quietly in the Bhagavad Gita. That's what he did. So, to summarize, in the shlokas 18 and 19, we have seen the four features of the Atma. One is Atma is Chaitanya Swarupaha, and it is Nirvikara Swarupaha, and it is Akarta and Abhokta. So, all these we saw. And each of these features now in detail we have seen. Now, let us continue with mantra 20. Anoraniyan Mahato Mahiyan Atma Syajanto Nihito Guhayam Tamakratu Pashyati Vita Shokaha Dadu Prasadan Mahimanam Atmanaha. All these are all very, very important verses. People have to put them with underlined, you know. So, Atma Lakshana Shlokaha. All of them, Atma Swarupa Mantras or Atma Lakshana Shlokas. So, now in this mantra, Yamadharmaraja reveals that this Atma Chaitanyam is inherent or pervades the entire creation. Atma Chaitanyam pervades the entire creation. It is not confined to the physical body. We cannot say consciousness is in the body only. But we should say consciousness is in the body also. Like what? The light is on the hand. Is that wrong? The light is on the hand also. So what is the big difference? When I say light is on the hand, then it appears also that light is located here only. And therefore it is a localized, finite entity. But when I say light is in the hand also, it means light is beyond the hand also. The only difference is on the hand, you can recognize the light. Beyond the hand, it is unrecognizable. It is unmanifest form. And there also we recognize if you keep the hand here and here and here, etc. in so many places, in the same way, Yamadharmaraja says, consciousness or Atma is Sarva Adhishtanam. Sarva Anugatam, Sarva Anusutam. So, yeah, that is supposed to be there everywhere. So, Sutrem Manigana Iva, just as the thread is an invisible form, it is in and through all the beads of the garland, of the mala. You don't see the thread at all. But without the thread, the mala cannot be together. Why don't we see the thread? Because the beads are covering the thread. But how do we know that the thread is there? Without that, the mala will not be a mala. It will be only just beads. So the thread is, actually there is a beautiful place where the thread is talking about itself. There is a figurative way of describing it. I am in and through the every bead, but I am invisible. So it is Uttamadini Pushpani Vartante Sutrake Yatha Uttamadhya Tatadehe Vartante Mayi Sarvada Yatana Samsprite Sutram Pushpanam Uttamadita Tatanaikam Sarvagamam Dehanam Uttamadita Pushpeshu Teshu Nashteshu Yadvat Sutram Vinashyati Tatadeheshu Nashteshu Naiva Nasyamyakam Sada. So the thread is talking about itself in this shloka. I am in and through every bead, but I am invisible. The superiority and inferiority of the beads, they do not affect the thread, because thread is neither inferior nor superior, thread itself. And finally, when the beads are gone, thread continues to be there. And here Yamadharmaraja says, Atma is the thread of consciousness, in and through all the beads. And you know what are these beads? All our bodies are beads, are flowers. In fact, Shankaracharya, he gives the example of flowers better than beads. You know why? The bead will not wither away. But if you put flowers, they will go after some time. But the thread will remain. Some flowers are fresh, some are withering, some are already withered. Similarly, we have so many bodies here. Some are young and restless. Some others are old and useless perhaps. I am not looking at any one of them. I can close my eyes. Remember, they are all only flowers coming and going. All these flowers are threaded together by the invisible thread of consciousness. Not only the consciousness pervades all the sentient beings, it is there in and through the insentient also. So if Atma is the thread in and through the entire creation, then what should be the nature of that Atma? That's a quiz for all of us. We have to find out what is that principle which is through in and through everything and all beings. We cannot say it is the body. We cannot say it is the mind. We cannot say it is the intellect. They are all not everywhere. Then what is that principle which is in and through everything and beings? If one really analyzes this, the Shastras say there is one thing. And what is that? When you describe any object, what do you say? Here is a mic. Here is a book. This is a chair. There is a man. There is a woman. There is a car. There is sun. There is moon. What is the common factor in all of them? Sun is, moon is, car is, star is, atom is. So that isness, the satta, that is the common thing in and through all of them. So anoho, aniyan, and mahataha, mahiyan. So the isness or the existence principle with the capital E, that is the thread in and through everything in the creation. That's what Krishna asks. That's what the Upanishad says. Yasyaiva spuranam sadatmakam. Yasyaiva spuranam sadatmakam asat kalpartakam basate. In Dakshinamurti Sutra, we already saw that. Sakshat tattvamasiti veda vachana yobodayat yashritana. So that's what we already saw in the Dakshinamurti Sutra. So Atma is the very sadrupam in and through everything. And quietly, Yamadharmaraja has indicated that Atma is the very existence principle. Very, very existence principle. And existence where? In the smallest atom also, and in the biggest star also. Anoraniyan, Magato, Mahiyan. And not only it is inherent in all of them, in fact, that is the very substance behind all the objects. So, to give a better example, Atma is like water. In every wave, in every bubble, in the smallest drop, or in the biggest ocean. In fact, one water alone appears as wave, river, well, ocean, pond, whatever one can think of. Similarly, Atma is that one substance which appears as the smallest atom as well as the biggest star. So therefore, the smallness and bigness, they belong to what? The Namarupa, name and form only. But the substance is one Atma alone. This is the terse teaching contained in this mantra, and we will see more details of this mantra in the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakriti leenasya ya parasa maheshwaraha Shri Krishna arpanamastu. I don't know why it is not stopping. Okay.